Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. This is the regular meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. It is Wednesday, July 20th, and we're here at the Veterans Memorial Building. So we do have a quorum, and so I will call the meeting to order. We are missing Stephen Shively, who is on vacation, but we do have enough members to proceed. So we'll start with a moment of silence. Thank you. Any announcements?
I'm sure everybody knows about this, but everybody can look forward to making a decision on the November ballot for what's called Measure J now. The self-help initiative will be on the ballot for a countywide half-cent sales tax. So you look forward to more information at probably multiple venues regarding that and to review the issue and make your decisions on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? No? All right. We do not have any presentations, so we will open up public comment for any items that are not on our agenda. Please come forward. Welcome.
Good evening, folks. Ken Vesterfeld, resident of Morro Bay. First of all, thank you for what you do. I'm well aware of what it's like to be on committees in the city and appreciate what your time that it takes. Second, August the 2nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at Cloisters Park is called National Night Out, so the Police Department of Morro Bay is going to be sponsoring a barbecue, so drop by. It's election time, so maybe some of the people who are going to be running for office will be there. And talking about the police department again, I want to reiterate how wonderful it has been for people to drop by the police department or make calls or send cards for the respect and the support for the police department. Yesterday I called a friend of mine who is a police officer in Baton Rouge, and he has lost three and possibly another one may not make it. So it's very, very scary, and they're very tense there right now. What I really would like to come to is to remind people that the city council and city manager are considering outsourcing the police department. I was on a ad hoc committee several years ago in several months, and it's just cost prohibitive. The only way they can do that is to lower the level of service. We are already the lowest paid police department in San Luis Obispo County. So that's the only way, in my opinion, that they can have the same level of service, which is probably minimum of what we have because of our lack of officers in town. So on August the 9th, it's going to be on the agenda for City Council. Or you can email your thoughts to the City Council and the City Manager. I also have a petition that can be signed asking the City Council not to outsource that. There are several of us in the city who are taking up those petitions. Anyone can call me at 805-235-8708, and I will come to your home if you wish to sign. So, again, I hope everybody in the city is going to pay attention to what may happen. Again, they're going to be looking at it or talking about it at the August the 9th City Council meeting here at the Vets Hall. So I appreciate everything you do. Thank you very much, and good luck on hopefully 41 and Main Street will be better here in the future. Thanks again for listening to me. Appreciate you.
And thank you, Ken, and for your volunteer police work, because I know you put in many, many hours. So we appreciate it.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes of the last meeting? And any recommendations for changes? No. Can I have a motion to approve?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, David. And a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Chris. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, the next item is the director's report, and has everybody had an opportunity to look at the director's report? And do we have any questions or comments or anything we'd like further information about? Do I start with David?
I'm fine.
You're fine? Jan?
Mine are just little clarifications or for information. Under the bicycle alternative transportation, this says staff has submitted an active transportation program grant proposal to build the final phase of Morrow Creek multi-use trail connecting the bike and pedestrian path from the bridge north to Morrow Bay High School. How soon do you expect to when you present a grant, or what's the time that it takes to get a response? And then do we have the money to do this, or is that the next thing we have to get money for?
So the grant application was submitted in the end of June. And Caltrans expects to have their initial recommendations for projects in October. Then it has to go to the California Transportation Commission for award of that money at their December meeting. So everybody will have final notice in November. So I'm going to state kind of realities of, I just came from a SLOCOG DTAC meeting, so they updated us on this item. The state received almost $1 billion in grant applications for $240 million worth of money that's available for them. Now, District 5, which we're a part of, hasn't fared well over the years, so we're thinking that maybe it's our turn. So there's a little bit of hope there. We have a really good project, and it connects a previously funded project to another previously funded project. So we have our fingers crossed. It's a very economical project, so we're hoping in the new year we'll receive a little love from the state for that project.
So if we get the love, is that grant enough to pay the expenses of it?
Or no, it requires city match to do that. So 20% match is what it is. So it's about, 100 and something thousand dollars that we'll be matching with city funds. And SLOCOG is providing seed money for a lot of these funds. It just depends how many projects are awarded, how much money SLOCOG has to help us out with the match.
And then, last case scenario, if all of those other things don't come, will this Project J, what is it?
Measure J.
Will the money from there come to help projects like that?
It could be used for that. There's the local portion that it would be allowed to be used for that. So it needed to be budgeted by City Council, the expenditures of those funds, and prioritized for that use.
There's also an allocation for bike and ped projects in Morrow, Cayucas Connectors.
Right. So the regional projects have a set aside. So the Morrow Bay Cayucas Connector is one of the named projects. So that project, should Measure J pass, would be funded. But the smaller projects are part of the local community's decisions on how to spend their own local money.
So the bottom line is, in reality, this is a feasible thing, something we could expect maybe in the next 3 or 4 years.
I think so, and I'm hoping sooner rather than later, because there is that gap there between the high school and where you cross the bridge, where you're it's a lot of rough pavement and not very wide that you have to go through to almost ride that every day. So experience it a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Chris, any questions, comments?
No questions.
Stu?
Rob, where does that money come from? Is it out of general funds, the matching?
Measure Q funding would be appropriate, or general fund, yes.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, I just thought maybe you could tell us a little bit about the skate park that was an impromptu skate park that the kids apparently put together, and just what the status of that is, and kind of fill us in about that.
So the city's teen center, which is at on Atascadero Road near the high school, has a skate park out front. There's also a old miniature golf course in the back. And pretty much the only back of the teen center that is used for activities is kind of the patio area. I have a little basketball hoop out there, and it's sometimes used for gatherings, from what I understand. But the skate park looked very attractive, or the miniature golf course looked very attractive to some to convert to a skate park. So in the off hours, some enterprising young men and women converted much of the miniature golf area to skating. And I think some of the parents may have helped a little bit. And they did it with the idea that stuff would stay there, because they poured concrete, mixed concrete on site. So they had some quarter pipes that they had put in. Unfortunately, cities are in the position of assessing risks. And this was skateboarding is a fairly high risk. We all know that. But the risks, the way this was built, and some of the, if something went wrong, the grinding rails had sharp edges on them, the landing area for the quarter pipe was a retaining wall, so it was beyond the risk that the city could accept. So the city maintenance crew, I think, are still in the process of removing some of that material, and we're removing some of the other things that were from that old miniature golf course that were potentially hazardous. They put some old boats back there as features in the miniature golf course, and the miniature golf course hasn't been used the entire time I've been here, and I think sometime before that, so it's probably 15 years. The stuff has started to decay, so we're just taking the opportunity to clean that whole area up back there. And there is a recreation department does have a master plan for that area that includes a little amphitheater, and I believe perhaps some skating area is one of the options for back there. But
well, I know it created quite a fuss. So is there a skate park in the front, did you say?
Yes, the city does have a skate park.
And so the kids weren't really happy with that one, apparently.
Yes, it requires the wearing of helmets, and you can be observed out there. So sometimes teenagers don't want to be observed.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just wanted to hear the story since I just caught it secondhand.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right. Let's move on then. Oh, go ahead.
It's on the skate park. Are there any other locations that it could possibly be made?
The city manager mentioned that perhaps it might be a good spot, might be next to the existing bike park, but we would need to negotiate some land with PG&E, because they pretty much own all the land that surrounds the existing bike park area. So the city manager is talking with PG&E about that possibility, so I'd have those two kind of active park areas right next to each other.
Would it be more cost effective to find a way to put together a teen council to work with the city and find ways to modify the existing skate park in front of the teen center to be more
It could be. I believe the Recreation Commission does have or has had teen liaison members, and when our new recreation coordinator gets on board, we can talk about those ideas to bring forward.
Okay. Good idea. Okay, let's move on to item B2. This is the status report on the Highway 1 Route 41 interchange, and we're looking forward to hearing what you have to tell us.
And Rick will be leading us through this little presentation and then open it up for questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair, board members. Before we get started, I would just also like to point out that another item that was on the director's report, and staff's really excited about the fact that we did receive the $236,000 of reallocated CDBG funding from the Board of Supervisors. And so staff is currently scurrying about trying to award a new delivery order to repair existing sidewalks that have been lifted by a lot of tree roots around town. I know we all have our favorite spot that needs to be fixed, and so we're going to hit a lot of those here in throughout the month of July. Then we'll be gearing up for another delivery order for about $68,000 worth of FY17 CDBG allocation funding that's coming in. And then we'll launch from that right on into another delivery order to obligate this $236,000 that we've got. So during the course of this year, you're going to see about $350,000 worth of sidewalk work here in town. So we're anxious to be able to fill in a lot of those gaps and repair some of the sidewalk that had deteriorated. So with that, I'll move right on into item B2. You'll recall that back in October of last year, we briefed you on this project, and I'm prepared to run through all the slides if you like, but I thought I'd do it rather quickly as just a refresher, and along the way kind of give you an update of what has transpired since then. So you'll see here in September of 2015, before our meeting, we had met with the Coastal San Luis Unified School District, and they were excited about the prospects of moving forward with a roundabout to improve this interchange. At that point in time, we were still in the throes of finishing up the step two of our intersection control evaluation process that Caltrans requires as part of our preliminary project preparation. The intersection, as we all know, is very problematic because of the alignment of the ramps with Main Street. There's less than 75 feet between there, and so trying to move traffic through this intersection is very, very difficult. We often see backups when there's problems on the grade. It's not unusual for those backups to go all the way out into the junction of the ramp itself with the State Route 1. And that's a big concern to Caltrans. It's not unusual on weekends for us to see lots of backup at Main Street and Highway 41. And the whole idea of this project is to upgrade the interchange so that we can bring it back down to an acceptable level of service. As you can see right now, Main Street and Highway 41 typically operates at an acceptable level of service, which is deemed to be level of service C. But the problem still lies in that ramp that backs up in the morning peaks and then oftentimes during special events in the evening as well. As you look at the chart here on the left, you'll see that the condition in 2012 or 2020 when we expect to have an improvement done, will deteriorate even further within 10 years, and that will continue to degrade to a point of level of service F, which nobody can tolerate, particularly here in Morro Bay, where we're accustomed to what is usually a level of service A, and it's driving anywhere you want with no interruption. And sometimes we get a level of service B or C, but that's the rare exception. So you can imagine a level of service F, which is your typical LA bumper to bumper, and nobody wants to see that kind of scenario. Especially on Highway 41, which is a major gateway into our town for many of our visitors from the Central Valley. I won't belabor the project background. You'll recall that we did initiate this investigation as early as 2001 as part of work that occurred when Duke was considering upgrading the power plant. That project moved forward, had the environmental document completely drafted, and it was out for review when Duke announced that they were going to pull the project. And shortly thereafter, about 2003, the process came to an abrupt halt because of lack of funding and a motivating driver to that improvement. We reinitiated this process about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We've moved forward with step one using our own city development impact fees and received a lot of favorable support from Caltrans in that process. They liked what they saw from step one and encouraged us to move forward to step two. And we have now concluded step two. That became somewhat of a belabored process from the last time that we met until about May when we finally did get approval to move forward with the preliminary engineering phase of the project. The reasons behind that lengthy back and forth from January until May revolved around several design issues. You'll recall that the original configuration that we presented to you in October was this egg-shaped layout. That has since changed due to a number of other factors that came into play, and they are all related to, you know, making sure that the layout of the roundabout provides adequate sight distance and adequate speeds and turning movements for all vehicles. I would like to take a moment before we launch into the details of some of those design issues that we worked through to remind you why we think a roundabout is the preferred alternative, and that assumption was borne out through the step two process. The big key here is that roundabouts are much, much safer than a standard interchange. When you compare intersections that have been converted from a standard intersection and or traffic signal control to a roundabout, you see about a 37% reduction in overall accidents, 75% reduction in injury accidents, 90% reduction in fatalities, and about 40% reduction in pedestrian incidences. So across the board, it's a safer alternative. We also see that, you know, if you're crossing a typical intersection, the chance of a pedestrian dying because he's hit by a motor vehicle are typically around 80% at 40 miles an hour. When you look at the typical speeds that you see at a normal intersection, that's given a pedestrian about a 40 to an 80% chance of a fatality walking through that interchange or intersection. With a roundabout, the speeds are dramatically reduced, but they're constant. So vehicles are always moving, but at much slower speeds. And so the chance of a serious pedestrian accident is reduced to about 15%, which is very significant. Also, contrary to some beliefs, a roundabout is a much safer place to travel in a vehicle because the number of conflict points are dramatically reduced. If you look at this diagram, you see that at a normal intersection, all those red dots are vehicle points of conflict, and there's typically 32 different points of conflict as you're making those turning movements, whereas with a roundabout, that's reduced to 8 points of conflict. Same for the pedestrians. Pedestrian conflicts at a normal intersection are 24, but at a roundabout, there's only 8. Also, the distance that you have to travel on a regular intersection is much wider, and you've got 3 directions of turning traffic, you know, that you got to look out for. Whereas with a roundabout, you'll cross a lot more quickly and safely because you're always only crossing one directional travel. It's a single lane, and it's always coming in the direction that you know that it's going to come there. You'll also don't have to worry about how fast those vehicles are coming because they've got to slow down, typically below 20 miles an hour. And the entry speeds that we're looking at with our roundabout here would be down below 15 miles an hour. So that's a great thing for our students that use this intersection a lot. You also have to only look in that one direction of travel because it's always a one-way movement. The islands are wide enough that they provide shelter in between the turning and the through movements. The landscaping provides buffers and helps direct those pedestrians. I don't know if you've ever been at Main Street and Highway 41 at lunchtime right now, but it can be a real circus with kids going in every different direction. This is going to channelize that. And I think you'll see a significant improvement. It also guides the crossings the crossings are guided for the visually impaired as well. So there's some ADA benefits to this. It's also a better solution for bicycles. When traffic is light on a roundabout, then you can just use the normal lane of travel. You see the green dotted line moving through the intersection with no conflict at all. If it gets a bit more busy and the cyclist feels uncomfortable, then he can use the shared pathway that you see in the red dotted line and then cross as a pedestrian at the crossing and then resume his bike travel as he gets to the other side. So all in all, the roundabout is a much better solution for everybody traveling this intersection. Trucks, pedestrians, bikes, and standard vehicles. Now, to those issues that we dealt with from January to May, as you can see, our roundabout has changed shape somewhat. And one of the principal drivers behind that was the lack of adequate distance between the existing overpass and the intersections that we'll have with the ramp and Main Street. And so what we did was reconfigure the roundabout. You see it's kind of a lopsided egg now. We moved it a little bit to the southwest. We made a more abrupt turn for the ramp and a much more abrupt turn for eastbound traffic on 41. The reason for that is by reducing the vehicle speeds as they enter into the roundabout, it increases that reaction time for the vehicles that are coming from the ramp. where we had inadequate sight distance. And so we've resolved the problem there. We also had some concerns about the sunset left turn, and so we've extended the median at that point in time so that sunset will be a right-in and a right-out movement only. People that want to go to Atascadero from sunset can still easily do that by just making the loop around the roundabout and heading back in the other direction. And I think without question they'll find that it's a lot easier to do that than it is to fight their way through the queue of traffic that's there already. One other issue that we were able to resolve was the turning radius for truck traffic onto the northbound on-ramp was also problematic. And so you see that we've changed the configuration of that entry so that it's a more direct approach from the roundabout into that ramp. And so that works very well for the very large trucks that will move through that area. So the two unresolved issues that Caltrans has said, well, we're satisfied with the progress you're making. We can see there's some significant design effort involved in getting to a complete solution. So we'll defer that until the preliminary engineering phase and allow you to address it at that point in time. And that has to do with the trucks coming off of the ramp that might want to go south on Main Street. Now, that's probably a very few vehicles because most trucks that want to go into downtown are going to get off at the ramp before that, at the Main Street ramp, and get off. But there may be a few trucks that are servicing Mission, Lennon, and also a couple of the restaurants. And so we're going to accommodate them, again, by this change in configuration, but we'll need to come up with some unusual signing to route them around the roundabout and then back in southbound on Main Street. And those two issues will be resolved, as I say, during the preliminary engineering. So the next step is to move forward into preliminary engineering, and in order to do that, we have to go through a very formal and vigorous process of selecting our design consultant and our environmental consultant. We've put out an RFP to do that. That RFP is moving forward. It's been on the street since the 12th of July. Questions on the RFP were due Monday, and we did not receive any questions. We're going to publish an addendum with some revisions to our contract language that the city attorney has provided for us, and we'll be releasing that before the end of the week so that everybody has the benefit of that information. We'll also provide one more environmental study that we've received that demonstrates that there is no sensitive plant life within the project area, and so we don't think that will be an issue that needs to be addressed either. So with our environmental documentation, what we find is that of the 16 different elements that will be required to be studied, about five or six of those have already been adequately addressed in the previous study. 11 other elements will need to be updated, of course, and we'll be moving out smartly to do that as soon as we can award the RFP. To do that, we'd like to solicit the PWAB support if it will fit someone's schedule that's interested in joining us in reviewing all the proposals that come in. They're due on Tuesday, August the 2nd. We've given ourselves a very limited amount of time, just a week, to wade through those proposals and select two to three folks that we'd like to interview. And then those interviews will occur on Tuesday the 9th. The panel will score those interviews and make a recommendation on the best qualified at that point in time. We'll try to put word out that day or early the next morning on who we feel the best qualified is and ask them to put together their cost proposal and come back for negotiations starting on the 12th. We're hopeful that we can negotiate those terms and conditions and the final scope of work in 4 days so that we've got a recommendation to bring back to our next PWAB meeting on the 17th of August. And hopefully that'll put you in a position to make a recommendation to council. We'll take the award recommendation to them on the 23rd of August. Hopefully execute that contract by the 30th and be ready to work by September 1. So with that, are there any questions?
Yes, and before I get to allow everyone to ask questions, I just wanted to ask you, the person that you're looking for from PWAB to participate in the interviews, do they require any specific kind of knowledge?
Well, familiarity with the proposal process is always helpful.
No, I mean, I guess I'm thinking, do you need an engineer?
No, that's not required.
It's not, yes.
Because before I ask for volunteers, I thought we should at least find out what kind of knowledge and skills they need to possess in order to contribute. So
it's certainly not necessary. You need to be able to read quickly and be available and to come in with an open mind and lots of questions so that we can get a good evaluation of the folks that we're working with.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's...
I just want to say before you go to questions, just this process may be a little bit different from other proposals that we have reviewed in the past or that you may have been involved in. We can't ask for a price as part of the proposal process. So in California, we select professional services based on the most qualified, and then you negotiate scope and fee. So we're looking for the most qualified, and then you make your negotiations afterwards. So as part of the proposal, it's not a bid. It is a request for proposal process, and we'll be seeking the most qualified consultant. And the way this process works, I've been involved in a few of these, is you receive their proposal, you pick the consultant that is the most qualified, and then you sit down and look at what the scope they're proposing, and then they'll add dollar amounts to that scope, and they'll slide a number across the table, not really, but they'll show you their Excel spreadsheet, how they came up with their fees. And that goes back and forth a couple of times because usually it's more than you can spend on those services. I've never had one come in that's less than you expected. And let's say it doesn't work out. You can't come to terms. Well, then you go down to the next most qualified firm on the list, and you start negotiating scope and fee with them. Okay. I've never seen where you've had to go back out and re-advertise and try to start over.
So you expect more than one, obviously.
I expect this is a very attractive size project for multiple civil transportation-type firms.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's move to questions. Stu, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I just have some questions, Rick, on that. But you have
our current roundabout that's on Main and Quintana, have you got an idea of how many vehicle trips are going through that current location? And secondly, how does the size of that compare with what we have here?
You know, I have not looked at actual numbers there for a long time. I would guess it's probably around 12,000, 14,000 vehicles a day.
That's probably pretty close from what I recall from the traffic studies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's 7,800 vehicle trips up and down 41. Am I right with that one?
That's pretty close. Yeah,
then we've got, well, then we've got the influx of Main Street
and the ramps
going around there and so on. So it's conceivable that that's going to be a load of, that's similar to what
very similar, I
think. Main and, or Morro Bay and Quintana is. Is there any plans in this to close the southwest pedestrian crossing there? I know I travel out all the time and almost bumped into some kids several times that are the last minute jumping out there, and just have one on the would be the northwest travel.
No, in fact, Caltrans was quite adamant as we went through the process that we needed to provide pedestrian access on all four quadrants. We thought it might be more advantageous to try to channel it to one side as well. But their experience has been that it will work much more effectively if we've got access all the way around. And, of course, we're going to accede to their wishes.
And remember, pedestrians are only crossing one lane of traffic at a time. It's not, you're not crossing both directions. You have that pedestrian refuge before you take the next leap of faith.
And I would also point out, too, that you see the crosswalk locations are going to change pretty significantly as well. So it will likely be relocated to a much different location now.
I know that the college students on one down there by the Shell station dare you to hit them, and I almost hit one the other day. It was close, but they have that. They don't kind of look to see if there's any traffic and so on coming. Do you see that a roundabout improves their attitude or their visibility to look for traffic, since it's a little less?
Well, it certainly does. I mean, if you look at this layout here, which is a little bit busy because we've noted some areas where we've made some changes with the highlighting, but the dark blue delineates where all of those crossings are going to be. And as you can see, we move them out away from their current locations so that they can find refuge in those center islands as well. And so they're not going to be traveling nearly as great a distance as they do right now, which should greatly speed things up.
In this process, is there any plans to change where one comes into Main, where there's that right turn only stop sign, road direction sign, coming off of one going north, and you pull up to that stop sign, and you can go left or right on the Main Street?
That's correct.
That sign is right smack in the blocking of what traffic is coming. And it seems to me like there needs to be some redoing of that.
Well, you're getting, and that's at the ramp south of here, about a quarter mile south of here. South of there, yeah. Right where the bike park is. Right?
Yeah, right where the bike park is, it gets pretty crazy there sometimes. I've sat there for 10 or 15 minutes, and stupid me, I should have gone on down. But that needs to be addressed, too, in this process, because there may be more load on that when the roundabout gets going.
Well, I would expect that you'd probably see less of a load at that intersection itself, because a lot of people use that only to avoid the backup on the ramp at 41, and if that backup goes away like we expect it to, then it should reduce that.
That's true. 18-wheelers would be able to negotiate around that if they wanted to come in and then go maybe north on Main. And
that's correct. This configuration is set up so that the largest California vehicle can traverse it. You'll notice that there's two concentric circles there in the middle. What that denotes is the rollover curb there, so that the rear tracking of the truck's wheels can roll up over that and get on and around.
Did I hear the length of time is going to be 3 or 4 years if it flies and gets approved?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let me just move forward here. This is our rough schedule right now. You'll see that we are somewhat delayed in our start. We really thought that we'd be into P&E in probably March time frame, and that hasn't occurred because of these design issues. But we think we can make that time up and pretty closely adhere to this schedule. Of course, we'll get a brand new schedule when we negotiate the final scope with the most qualified. But the plan is to be what Caltrans calls ready to list. That means you've got a complete set of plans, all the right-of-ways acquired, and you're ready to go out to bid by late 2018 so that we can get started in spring of 2019. Spring, summer, I should say. We may wait for the Transportation Commission meeting.
So there's going to be alternate route signs, of course, put up because when you start constructing there.
There will be a complete traffic control plan for this project, without a doubt.
Yeah, because a lot of our commerce comes down to 41.
That's correct.
That's right. That's all I have.
Chris.
I really like the idea, the roundabout there. My only concern really is the quantity of pedestrian activity there, and obviously at certain times of day, but also obviously lunchtime, that's probably when we're getting a decent amount of vehicles coming through as well. From what I've seen there, they tend to cluster up in groups and go, and then you get ready to go through a stop sign, all of a sudden another group starts walking. When I encounter pedestrians up here at our other roundabout, it tends to bring things to somewhat of a stop. I can see that really bringing stuff to a stop at lunchtime there. And has that kind of been looked at? Because once you get a couple cars backed up, the circle doesn't work.
Typically what you see is exactly what I alluded to earlier. With the refuge islands there, you'll see those groups moving out before, instead of accumulating, I think you'll see the onesies, twosies get started. So you'll see those groups moving across in a staggered fashion. So you'll have two or three waiting at the edge of the first entry, while another three or four might already be out in the island. And so you don't have to wait for them to move all the way across both lanes of traffic. And so
it should be
more efficient.
I think that's the key, because I think kind of what Stu alluded to, which is what I see, they don't tend to wait. They tend to just walk out and not look kind of on purpose so that they can get across as quick as possible. My only other question, what were those dates again that you were looking for on the for the interview?
Okay, we're looking to do the receiving the proposals on the 2nd, and we'll do the interviews on the 9th. So the busy time for our volunteer would be from the 3rd through the 9th.
9th is a Tuesday?
That's correct.
Okay. And nothing past the 9th for that?
That's correct.
Okay.
You wouldn't need to be involved in the cost negotiations at all.
Okay. Jan?
Yeah, could we go back to the drawing of it, please?
That's sure.
Okay. Right now, if you come down Atascadero Road heading toward the beach, say, and if you got on that roundabout, you'd go on Atascadero Road, you'd go around across Main Street, right?
That's correct.
And if you wanted to get on Highway 1, is that on-ramp is obviously moved, because right now it would be like a 90-degree turn.
That's correct. So the on-ramp is moved up to about the 11 o'clock position there.
Okay. Then, has there ever been any Any thought about maybe eliminating the on and off ramp there and directing it maybe to San Jacinto or down on Main Street, down instead of having all those streets in one place?
Yeah, Caltrans is not receptive to that approach. I mean, you know, from their perspective, this is the intersection of two major highways. And so to try to route that traffic across the city street and then back to another city street to get back on would not be an efficient way to move the volumes of traffic that they need to move there. We did have some discussion about the feasibility of closing the ramp at Main Street, that extra loop, because there is some redundancy there. But again, they felt like, particularly because of the truck turning radius here, that it was important to leave that in play.
Has there ever been any thought about maybe making a different route for the kids to get across there? I don't know how. Maybe over the freeway, a walkway over or something? Tunnels, yeah.
No.
Parachute drops.
We really feel like the roundabout is going to provide the solution that we're looking for here.
Okay.
The volumes of pedestrians that we see in Morro Bay, while they that's certainly our largest concentration of pedestrians, it pales in comparison to most other places.
Chris.
This is quite an undertaking. I mean, that thing has more legs than the Kraken. So congratulations on the amount of work and rework you've done on this. And I do see what you're saying in regard, again, to pedestrians. Compared to the roundabout over on Morro Bay Boulevard, the crossing for pedestrians there is much closer to the actual circular drive itself, mm-hmm. where here you've moved them back substantially. So once more cars are able to get past the pedestrian, the flow, I can see how that would, you know, hope alleviate too much backup. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any real questions beyond the fact that I feel like you guys have worked this in every direction possible and seems to be coming into the most effective plan available. So, nice work.
Well, I do have a couple questions. first of all, the last time that we heard this issue, you were pursuing two alternative designs. And now, as I am hearing you talk, it sounds like you have already made a decision to go with the roundabout. And
no, that's not correct at all.
Okay.
What we have concluded is that the roundabout is the preferred alternative for many reasons.
Right.
We still have the environmental process to go through, and in that environmental process, we need to consider the alternatives, and we are.
Okay. So moving into the next phase, will the consultant hired be doing preliminary engineering plans for both the signal and the roundabout?
Normally, the preliminary engineering piece of the environmental documentation is more focused on the preferred alternative, but there will be some basic configuration of the signal alternative. The challenge, of course, that it is the elephant in the room is, you know, how do you really move traffic efficiently as close as those intersections are?
Well, you don't have to convince me,
yeah.
But it's the rest of the citizens of Morro Bay that I'm actually considering at this
sure.
point. And at some point, they need to weigh in on this, and I'm just wondering when that would happen in the process.
So that would happen as it moves through the environmental process. It'll not only come to PWAP, but it'll come to Planning Commission. Planning Commission will weigh in on the most likely a mitigated negative deck, probably not an EIR because there's not that many issues with it. The first step to weigh in is will council authorize the to move forward with awarding the contract for mm-hmm. The preliminary design environmental review. next step, if that hurdle is passed, would be that work goes to Planning Commission and then to City Council for their approval of the project. There's probably a couple more steps along the way because we'll have to award a construction contract and a couple of other things. Come up with some money, too.
Well, that was going to be my next question. We have the SLOCOG sales tax that will be on the ballot, and let's hope that it passes. But if it doesn't, what does that do to this project?
It requires that the city provide the lion's share of the match, and SLOCOG and Caltrans are expecting 50% match funding, and this is a very expensive project. Either signalization or roundabout are both expensive, multi-million, four-plus million-dollar projects. So
is this the appropriate time to move forward with this phase of the project, or would it be better to wait until we find out about the results of the ballot initiative?
I think we need to continue to move forward because we do have funding for this next portion of it, outside funding,
okay,
that will go away if we don't continue forward. And it puts us in the position is when funding is available, we'll have, I hate this term, a shovel-ready project.
Yeah.
Because as it's been pointed out to me, you never know when somebody else is going to drop out because they can't deliver a project, and there may be money left on the table from other projects that we can scoop up.
Which is exactly what we just did with the sidewalks.
Uh-huh. And we did with our bridge project. Bob Jones Trail wasn't ready to move forward. We had a pedestrian bike project that was. We took the money for Bob Jones Trail. They're getting more money now, but
okay, thank you. And I have had people talk to me about the issue of the high school students crossing there. It's obviously a concern to some people, but it sounds like you've done outreach with the school, the high school. Could you just describe exactly what you've done in that regard? So who has reviewed it? Have parents reviewed it in addition to the administration?
We did not formally do a presentation for the teachers either the teachers or the parents, but we did meet with the facility director and the principal. They assured us that it had been topics of discussion at other meetings with those groups, and that there was strong support. And in fact, their only impatience was in why we couldn't do it faster.
Okay, thank
you. They did express concerns over the project, and their concerns are pedestrian-related, not with the official way that people are supposed to get across a roundabout, but the potential for trailblazers, that you might want to run diagonally across the center of the roundabout. So their design feature that they're after is something to make it not just have a flat piece of concrete out there that's easy to run across. And typically you wouldn't design a roundabout like that that's easy to cut across the center. Most of them have a low wall, a mound there, maybe a statue, some landscaping in the middle of it. Because you don't need to see all the way through the intersection. All you need to do is look to the left, drive to the right. That's my roundabout driving tip for the day.
Right. And this is my last question. I had heard talk that there was a hamburger place going in on that corner. Is that going to impact this in any way, shape, or form?
We've actually worked very closely with the developer as he's moved through the process, and we've kept him informed of the development of our plans as they move forward. And so no surprises for him.
Okay, all right.
And their design accommodate, their complementary design. So they understand that the intersection needs to be improved. They shifted their driveways to make it work for them and for us.
Okay.
Great. Actually improves their access, I think.
Thank you. All right. Well, I guess I should see which one of us wants to volunteer to.
I'd be available to
You would be available to do that?
Yes.
All right. Anybody else want to? That we have, you can fight for it, or
no,
I'd like
to, but I will be out of town, unfortunately.
I would have been happy to do it if nobody else wanted to, but as long as we've got a volunteer, why don't we take Chris?
Great.
Okay. Well, that concludes our business portion of the meeting. I see the future agenda items. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. First of all, do you know when the Joint Streets Summit is going to be scheduled with the City Council?
No, we don't have a date for that yet. And the city manager is thinking that he wants it to be more of, instead of a Brown Act meeting, a more of a public workshop where people don't have to
come up and have three minutes.
Well, have 3 minutes. You can still come up and speak and ask your questions until you have no more questions. We've done that on the WRF project before, and I think it created a better dialogue. So it would be, the council and PWAB and any of the other advisory boards would attend, of course, but it wouldn't be run. It wouldn't be run as an official meeting, and then we'd take the results of that and bring it back through the more of the formal setting.
It struck me that the Citizens Finance Committee should be invited to participate also, because I know that the funding issue is going to come up. And so would it not, it would not necessarily be on our regular scheduled.
Correct.
It'll just be
sometime after Labor Day is when we're thinking of it, when this hubbub of summer have kind of calmed down a little bit and more folks are either in town or getting back into their routine after the summer. And
okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And as soon as there's a date, I would love to know it.
Oh, yeah. We will make sure that that gets broadcast widely. Also, I think what we should do is and I'll do this on future agendas, is attach the work plan that we had based on our last joint meeting, because otherwise we might forget about some of those items. And we
I brought it with me.
Okay, and we need to keep those moving forward. Okay.
Very good. Well, any closing comments from anybody?
Just before you do wrap things up, you had the question about the funding, and I would just point out that if anybody is interested in a better understanding of what the self-help initiative would mean to this project and to the city of Morro Bay in general, that there is a website available to them. It's selfhelpslow.org. And they would find there that this particular project has been designated for $1 million allocation as part of the regional projects.
Thank you, Rick. That's very helpful. Well, I wanted to just say goodbye to Kay. I heard that Kay's going to be leaving us, and I just wanted to say thank you for all of the work you've put in for us, and we've appreciated it, and I wish you well in the future. We'll miss you. And with that, we're adjourned until our next regularly scheduled meeting, which is August 17th. It's 5:30 right here. So we're adjourned.